A very, very happy Easter to you all. I wish I could celebrate with you in person, but it's great to be speaking to you from home. I hope you'll all be able to take some time today to celebrate the day our Lord has risen. After all the events of Holy Week, after dying and being buried on Good Friday, on Easter Sunday, Jesus rose again. And what a joyful day that is. Jesus defeated death. He gave us the opportunity of life eternal, life now, life for infinity, eternal days. And it is so exciting. I'm going to pray, then I'm going to read our Bible passage and speak to you from it this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for your love for us. We thank you that by dying on the cross and rising again on Easter Sunday, you defeated death for us. Our sins may be forgiven because of what you did. We have the hope of life eternal because of what you did. We have the joy of true life now because of what you did. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And we pray that our worship today may bring you glory and bring you joy too. Amen. Lord, I also pray that of the words I speak today, only the ones that are of you will be remembered. Amen. Our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. Jesus has risen. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day, be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and all the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. Now, all of us find ourselves in strange times at the moment, and I've been thinking a little bit about survival in these strange times, and about survival in the Christian walk, and about what Easter and its message has to say to us, particularly today, but also in general terms as well. Now, survival at the current times, it might be a lot to do with some of these things. So we've got some hand soap. As you can see, I've been doing quite a lot of hand washing. We've got some hand gel. We've got some of these gloves. I've had to go to the hospital a couple of times recently, and they're very kindly giving me quite a lot of gloves now because apparently I might be glad of them as well. And we also have this. A lot of us are relying rather a lot more than usual on our technology, our mobile phones, our computers, so that we can Skype and WhatsApp and Zoom and telephone and all sorts of things that we always do, but are doing in much greater quantity than we had been. And there's lots of other things we see out as well. If we're able to go out at the moment, we'll be seeing people with face masks quite often. Some people have chosen to wear those when they go out and about. We see socially distanced queuing. When we try to do shopping for each other, we have to queue 2 metres apart for quite long distances sometimes outside the supermarkets or outside the pharmacies as people try to make it safe as possible for everybody to go about their usual business. In today's times, we find ourselves in a very uncomfortable position. Each of our journeys through life have taken a strange turn in the last month. Every one of us has had everything upturned. For every single one of us, things are very different to the way they were before. We don't know what will happen in our country or across the world at the moment. We don't know which of our friends will succumb to the coronavirus at the moment, which of our family members. And when they do, we don't know how badly it will affect them. And I know that some of us have lost people who are very dear to us during this time, and it's difficult and it's right here. We don't know how long we'll be in lockdown for. We don't know how long it will take our economy to recover. We don't know when we'll be able to return to church, and we are missing each other a lot. I'm missing all of you terribly. As we think about our journey through life and the stage it's reached at this time, it is particularly a source of joy, as it always is, to celebrate again Jesus' resurrection and his journey from death to life. I really am hoping that all of us will take some time to remember what Jesus has done for us today, this Easter Sunday, even though we're remembering it in a different way this year because we can't be together. The Easter story is one we hear every year. We've heard it so many times, and yet it never ceases to amaze. And it's filled with key messages for our spiritual survival throughout life, key messages for our spiritual survival at a time such as we find ourselves in at the moment. So let's think back to that first Easter Sunday morning. We can only imagine what it must have felt like to Jesus' friends and followers. 3 days ago, he had still been with them. Now he is gone, and Easter Sunday begins full of sorrow and darkness. Very early in the morning, the disciples are confused and exhausted and brokenhearted. Dispersed into different homes and places, they've probably had no sleep. They've lost their friend and mentor, and they are terrified for their own lives. Not only that, they have witnessed some very strange things that they cannot understand. When Jesus died 3 years ago, they'd seen the whole world go dark and start shaking as all of creation groaned at the death of its king. Matthew's gospel tells us that they would have heard and witnessed rocks splitting, tombs breaking open, and many holy people who had died being raised to life. On the nearby hillside, 3 crosses probably would have still stood, marking the place of Jesus' death. It had been the Sabbath, so it's unlikely they would have been cleared away. The middle cross may even still have carried the bloodstains from Jesus' body, from the crown of thorns, from his hands, from his feet, from his side, and from his back, where he'd been beaten and flogged before being put to death. The first message of survival from Easter Day is remembered in that empty cross. We know that it signifies that Jesus died for our forgiveness, paying the ultimate penalty for our sins, and enabling us to stand freely before God. Remembering this is key to our survival as Christians and our survival in these strange times too. It gives us perspective. Even though we are locked into our homes, we are free in the truest and most important sense of the word. We are free before our Lord to worship him, to have a relationship with him and to commune with him each day. And so, with all of that having happened very early in the morning, Mary and some of the other women go to tend Jesus's body and prepare it for final burial. These are extraordinarily courageous and faithful women. It would have been dark, it would have been dangerous, and yet they loved their Lord so much. Off they went. They had no idea what was to come. They were expecting a place of disappointments and endings. And we know from the gospel accounts, the other ones other than Luke, they're even wondering how they might roll a stone away when they get there that had been placed at the front entrance to the tomb by the Roman officials. And yet, when the ladies get there, they find that the stone has already been moved and the tomb is empty. And rather beautifully, Luke tells us that the angels remind them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen." And then in verse 6, "Remember how he told you?" And then verse 8, it says that they do remember his words. It's worth reminding ourselves that no deed of Jesus, and certainly not his greatest, has ever been without his accompanying word. No event has ever been left unexplained. Jesus had talked about what would happen with them, and the women knew his words. They just needed to be reminded of them at this time. They rushed off to tell the disciples. Now, the empty tomb is the second of the Easter Day survival messages for us at all times, but especially during these times. The resurrection shows us that Jesus conquered death, and that by believing in him, our Saviour, we too have the promise that each of us will also be raised to eternal life. Death is no longer something to be feared. Now, isn't that a comforting thought? With deaths rising across the UK, especially in London and its surrounds, as well as across the world, those of us who are Christians do not have to fear death, whether it comes to us now or at some point in the future. After all, death will come to us all one day. But Jesus has defeated death. Jesus died and was resurrected 3 days later. Jesus conquered death that it may be feared no longer. All of us who believe and trust in him have the promise of eternal life. We too have the promise of Jesus's resurrection power. Instead of a place of sorrow, the empty tomb becomes a place of new beginnings because Jesus, who was dead, is alive. Now, the disciples' reactions are interesting at this point. Those who have spent 3 years intimately with Jesus immediately dismiss what these faithful women tell them. Verse 11 says, "But they did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense." Now, I don't know about you, but I feel a lot of sympathy with the disciples at this point, and I think God would too. God knows them, and he knows us. He knew them and he knows us. He knows that for many of us, taking the step to trust Jesus, to follow him and believe the truth which he offers, is initially hard. But the third survival message of Easter Day, relevant always and particularly in harder times such as now, is that of a Lord who wanted fellowship with the disciples then and fellowship with us now. The empty grave clothes discovered by Peter are a clue to this. Jesus wanted his friends to be looking for him. He could have chosen to go straight to heaven. It would still have been remarkable. It still would have been life-changing. But instead, he chose to stay with the disciples and his followers for long enough to be sure that everyone had understood. Following his resurrection, we know that Jesus sat down with his friends. He walked with them, he talked with them, he ate with them. He is a living saviour, desiring a personal relationship with each of us, just as he did with his disciples 2,000 plus years ago. Jesus's journey from death to life changes everything for us. The cross is empty because it could not hold him. The tomb is empty because it could not contain him. The grave clothes are empty because he has risen again and he is alive. Because of what Jesus did for us, nothing, not even death itself, can separate us from the everlasting love of God. That is resurrection power, and that is what we can claim for ourselves today and every day. But it's something we need to choose actively to do. And it doesn't matter if we do this for the first time or we do it for the thousandth time. We can always claim the power of Jesus's death and resurrection in our lives in any situation. however hard things may be currently or may become in the future. And we can do this in different ways, and I have three of them for us to think about now. Firstly, we can claim Jesus' resurrection power over our past. In John chapter 8, verse 26, it says, "If the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Our past and all it contains is gone. We can never retrieve the past. We cannot change the things we've done or those that have happened to us. But there are often events from the past that can stop us from moving forward, events that have hurt us, events that we've done something wrong and we just can't get past it. We can invite Jesus, who knew even greater hurt and pain than anyone else has ever known, to come into those areas and heal us and to give us new life in them. It isn't easy, it's scary at first, but we can choose to let him do that. I'm somebody who has let him do that in some very difficult areas of life, and it's the best thing in the world. So the first way we can claim Jesus' resurrection power is we can claim it over our past. We can invite him to heal anything that we need him to from the past to help us to move forward in life with him. Secondly, we can claim Jesus' resurrection power over our present. Jesus has given us a commandment in John chapter 13, verse 34. "Love one another as I have loved you." Jesus gave himself to us. He made himself vulnerable. He lived with us and identified with us. He is the same God who is the creator of the universe, and yet he understands what it's like to be fully human. He loves us through all of our successes and all of our failures. And we too can be channels of that love. We can claim Jesus' resurrection power for the present and truly love each other. So we can claim Jesus' resurrection power for the past. We can claim Jesus' resurrection power for the present. And finally, we can claim Jesus' resurrection power over our futures too. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 12, "I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father." We know from the prophecy given at Pentecost that people of God are those who dream dreams and see visions. And God wishes to use us powerfully for his purposes. We can ask him to reveal his plans and desires to us. We can claim his resurrection power over the future, and we can claim his resurrection power to serve him in the best ways that we possibly can all the days of our lives and into eternity. So we can claim Jesus' resurrection power over our past, over our present, and over our future. Jesus' journey from death to life transforms our lives. It offers us messages for survival that are essential at all times, but are really helpful to remember now in these dark times. The cross offers us forgiveness. The resurrection offers us eternal life. And our Lord and Saviour loves us enough to wish for daily fellowship with us, filling us with his resurrection power every day if we're open to him doing so. I wonder if we are ready to claim his resurrection power in new ways in our lives today and going forward. I leave you with the opportunity to spend a few minutes in prayer with God in response to the reading, in response to it being Easter Day, in response to the ideas I've been offering you this morning. Please do take a few minutes with him now. Amen. And God bless you all as always. I look forward to speaking to you again soon. Do enjoy the rest of this Easter Sunday and do enjoy your week too. Bye.